and Answers begins right now.
You're tuned to Evidence and Answers radio broadcast with our host, Pat Zukran. Pat is an author, teacher, and international speaker in the area of Christian apologetics, the defense of the Christian faith. The Book of Mormon claims to be divine revelation from God. This book claims to record a historical account of Israelites who migrated from Israel to America during the 6th century BC. These Israelites grew to a significant population and established large cities throughout North and South America. But is there historical evidence that supports this account? The last time we were together, Pat and his co-host, Keith Boychuk, began an examination to see if there is historical evidence for the Book of Mormon. Today we will continue this discussion. If you've missed any part of this message, log on at evidenceandanswers.org, and there you will find this discussion entitled Examining the Book of Mormon, and you will find hundreds more podcasts that you may download or listen online. Now let's get right to today's segment.
The story of the Book of Mormon is that there's a migration of Jews who migrated from Israel to America. The first group during the period of the Tower of Babel in 2000 BC, and then the second group left in about 600 BC before Babylon came and conquered the nation of Israel. And they journeyed across the Pacific and one group across the Atlantic and came to the United States. The Nephites, the righteous Nephites, and the Lamanites. And eventually these two groups went to war and the Lamanites decimated and destroyed the righteous Nephites. The Lamanites were corrupted by sin and they became the forefathers. They were cursed with dark skin and eventually became the forefathers of the American Indians. And they had, there's a war between the Nephites and the Lamanites, and eventually the Nephites were wiped out. And their record was written by the prophet Mormon and his son Moroni on these golden plates in Reformed Egyptian and hidden in New York. So why Israelites, Hebrews, coming from Israel, would write in Reformed Egyptian? That's a bit strange as well. And so Joseph Smith recovered these golden plates, and I just told you the story. That sounds a bit unhistorical as well. And he was given the supernatural ability to translate these plates into English. And according to his wife and several of his other close associates here, he used a seer stone. He put a seer stone in a hat and then buried his face in the hat. And it is believed that the words were translated then into English. And that's how he translated the Book of Mormon from Reformed Egyptian into English. His wife Emma Smith and his brother William Smith and David Whitmer were some of the translators here. And they would sit and write down, supposedly, the translation he was receiving as he buried his head in a hat with the seer stone there. In fact, Emma Smith wrote, she says, in writing for your father, I frequently wrote day after day. He's sitting with his face buried in his hat with the stone in it, dictating hour after hour with nothing between us. So that's how Joseph Smith received the ability to translate. Now, that's troubling because that's using occult methods of a seer stone. It's very common in treasure hunting back then, you know, to discover where lost treasure was, supposedly. But using occult methods to do translations here. You contrast that with the Bible. You know, how did the prophets and the apostles receive revelation from God? It wasn't through occult methods like this. They often received visions or dreams, or God would place within them thoughts and revelations that they would dictate and write out using their background, personality and culture and language to write out the revelation that was given to them. They didn't do it through these kinds of occult means. So you see the history of how the Book of Mormon came together is quite suspicious here. It's quite different from how biblical writers receive their revelation from God.
you know, I was just trying to think myself, okay, if I was in that situation, how would we validate? How would we say, oh, yeah, you know, that's exactly what, was there any context for them to even have any understanding of Egyptian writing? I can't imagine that to be a very common skill.
Yeah, in fact, it wasn't around. We weren't able to translate Egyptian cuneiform. And that was one of the advantages Joseph Smith had, is that he could translate from Egyptian. And it was really difficult to validate there. We didn't have that ability until about 10 years after Joseph Smith died. We discovered a famous discovery called the Rosetta Stone. Mm. You know, many of you may use the Rosetta language program, but well, that's where it comes from. And the Rosetta Stone, you know, was discovered, and it had three different languages on it. It had the Egyptian cuneiform, but then it also had the Greek. And so we were able to use the Rosetta Stone and see what these symbols in Egyptian cuneiform, what the translation was, because we had the Greek writing right there. And so suddenly we were able to translate Egyptian cuneiform. And there's an interesting story, is that when they took parts of a manuscript that Joseph Smith got from an antiquities dealer of Egyptian, which, you know, he later translated, which he said he translated, they looked at it, and it was discovered that really he did not have the ability to translate Egyptian.
Yeah, so that's, you know, that's just really interesting to, for me, and I don't know if skepticism was a thing at that time, or you just kind of took people's word. You spoke about a little bit about how the Book of Mormon says that the Jews migrated from the Middle East to Central South America and established great civilizations with populations in the millions on the continent of North and South America. With such large civilizations, we should expect to see and find a large amount of archaeological confirmation. Is this the case with the Book of Mormon?
Yeah, and let me go one step back before I answer that one. You know, as you said, talking about the historical evidence for the Book of Mormon, we talked about Joseph Smith discovering these golden plates. Do we have them? Just like the Bible, we have thousands of ancient manuscripts that some of the earliest, you know, when it comes to the New Testament, date within the first century, the writings of Clement of Rome. And then you have the Rylands fragment about 120 AD. So very close to the lifetime of the authors here. But when it comes to these golden plates, this is very interesting, Keith. No one has ever seen them. No one has ever seen these golden plates. Joseph Smith claims that after he translated the plates, they were returned to heaven to the angel Moroni. And so no one's ever seen these plates. The only way you can verify the veracity of this account are the 11 witnesses. Mm. 11 witnesses claim to have, you know, signed statements claiming to have seen the golden plates. So the credibility rests on the testimony of these 11 witnesses. They're you know, so if you open up the Book of Mormon to the introduction, you'll see that it rests on the testimony of these 11 witnesses. Mm. Three claim to have seen the angel show the golden plates to them. These are the three key witnesses, and eight alleged to have seen the plates, but not the angel. And so the Mormon church asserts that these men never denied their testimony. But when we examine their lives, their integrity stands in question because they seem to be untrustworthy, wavering, gullible kind of witnesses. You know, according to the history, six of the 11 witnesses, including the three key witnesses, were eventually excommunicated from the church. They ended up rejecting the testimony that they previously gave. And in fact, former president Ezra Taft Benson summed up the legacy of the 11 witnesses this way. He says, six of the original 12 apostles selected by Joseph Smith were excommunicated. The three witnesses to the Book of Mormon, these are the three key witnesses, left the church. Three of Joseph Smith's counselors fell. One even helped plot his death. The wolves among the flock are numerous and devious today than when President Clark made a similar statement here. And so you can see that the testimony of these 11 witnesses then are suspect. Very different from the testimony of the apostles of Christ. They were men and women of integrity. They never rejected or questioned their testimony of Jesus Christ, and not only, you know, the 11, but the early followers of Christ as well. People like Luke, Mark, who weren't part of the 12, you know, Jude and others. So those who were the apostles and their close associates didn't deviate. They were men of integrity and didn't deviate from their testimony, as we see of the 11 witnesses here. And that's absolutely critical, because the validity of these golden plates rests on their testimony, which we see stands in question now. Yeah, now to get back to your question here about these civilizations. Yeah, according to the Book of Mormon, America, South America, Central America, they had these Jews that came from Israel and from the Middle East established great civilizations here throughout the United States and South America and Central America. In fact, the Book of Mormon states that large cities were built so that by 322 AD, the whole face of the land had become covered with buildings, and the people were as numerous as it were the sand of the sea. You know, there's about 38 cities specifically mentioned. The final battle that took place in Cumorah in the hills of New York between the Nephites and the Lamanites, you know, Mormon apostle Orson Pratt said that the armies gathered by the millions at the Battle of the Hill of Cumorah, according to the Journal of Discourses. The Mormon apostle and theologian Bruce R. McConkie, and Mormons will recognize that name, he's one of their major theologians, he reported that rivers of blood flowed on their battlefields and millions of their number were slain by the sword, according to Bruce R. McConkie here. And so there are millions here in the United States and South America and Central America with these great, vast cities established here in the United States, according to the Book of Mormon.
You know, we are starting to draw a lot of, parallel with the Book of Mormonism and the Bible. I guess we'll kind of start with this. What is the similarities? Where is it? Because I feel sometimes some individuals will say, oh, Mormons, they're Christians. They believe in Jesus Christ. So kind of just opening the door first, where is the similarity, if any?
Yes. Well, you know, in previous shows, we discuss the major differences between Mormonism and Christianity. In fact, there's a booklet now you can get that we've produced just for $8. Go to evidenceandanswers.org and you can purchase our booklet. It goes over the major differences between Mormonism and Christianity. But Mormonism has a very different God than the God of the Bible. Mm. The God of the Bible clearly states there's only one God, mm-hmm. you know, creator of heavens and earth. In Mormonism, there are numerous millions of gods who inhabit planets throughout the universe. And God was once a man who through his good life attained exaltation unto godhood. And every Mormon man who lives a faithful and worthy life can also do as God did, become a god and rule over his own planet and repopulate the planet with his spirit wives, producing spirit children for the new planet. The God of Mormonism is very different from the God of the Bible. And you can get our booklet there. It's called Conversations with Mormons, where we clearly show and we quote directly the Mormon sources there. Mormonism has a different Jesus. Jesus is not the unique one and only divine Son of God. Jesus is the firstborn spirit child to God the Heavenly Father and one of his spirit wives. And we are all spirit children of God the Father and one of his heavenly wives. So Jesus, as they refer to Jesus, is our elder brother. And in fact, Lucifer is one of our brothers as well. You know, and he led the rebellion there in heaven and was cast to earth, never to inhabit a physical body here. But we're all spirit brothers of Jesus. And, you know, Jesus and Lucifer proposed a plan, how these spirit children will one day inhabit physical bodies so they can make the journey to godhood as well as Jesus did and God the Father did. And so Jesus' plan was accepted. Lucifer's plan was rejected. He led a rebellion there in heaven. They were defeated in battle by Jesus and, you know, the spirit children there. And he was cast to earth as Satan with his followers, never to inhabit physical bodies. And the Mormon gospel is very different from ours. The Mormon gospel teaches that there are three levels of heaven, the terrestrial, telestial, and celestial. Three levels. Celestial is the highest. And Christ's death allows for everyone to go to heaven, at least the lowest level, the celestial level. Now, those who live worthy lives but fall a little short will reach the second level, the celestial level, the second level. But those who live very worthy lives, faithful Mormons, will reach that third level, the celestial kingdom. And in the celestial kingdom, there are three levels there. And those who reach the highest level, those will attain godhood as God the Father did. And they'll call up their wife from the grave and they will inhabit a new planet with spirit children as God the Father is doing now with his many wives. So you can see there's a big difference in Mormon theology from what the Bible teaches. And that's one of the important things to understand. You know, Galatians says, if anyone comes and teaches you another gospel than the one you have heard from us, may he be eternally condemned or accursed, you know, anathema. That's very strong words, some of the strongest words of condemnation given by Paul himself. And so that's why it's so important that we have the right gospel, the right Jesus, the right God, because the wrong gospel, the wrong Jesus, the wrong God cannot bring you eternal life. That's why Paul and Jesus were so strong as they spoke out against false teaching and false teachers.
Wow. Yeah. You know, just kind of as you were speaking more on it, the similarities is the word God and the word Jesus. But I mean, just as you are kind of defining it in that context, you can see just how different it is on their definition. And then it sounds like almost the goal for Mormonism is to achieve godhood.
Yes.
That kind of reminds me of like Buddha, right? You want to achieve Buddha. You want to achieve enlightenment, godhood. Mm-hmm. And that's really interesting. And, you know, to kind of bring it back to the evidence-based aspect, you know, we keep talking about that the Jews migrated from Israel to America and that the American Indians are descendants of the Jews. In this day and age, we have DNA testings. Has there been any DNA study of the American Indians on potentially their claims on Jewish heritage?
Yeah, you know, that's an important thing. In my field, I'm getting my doctorate in biblical archaeology. And so with these vast civilizations, with millions of, you know, Jews coming to America, with millions of Jews inhabiting here, Central, North, and South America, with these vast cities, there should be archaeological evidence there to support the testimony of the Book of Mormon, the historical integrity of the Book of Mormon. In the Bible, we have literally hundreds of thousands of discoveries that confirm the biblical account, manuscripts, plaques. We have found dozens and dozens of ancient cities mentioned in the Bible. As I stated, you know, previously in the show, we found the city of Sodom, you know, 2007. And that's where I'm doing a lot of research on because my professor, he's the guy that found it. We found the city of Ai. We found Jericho, Nazareth, the cities of the Philistines. I mean, just on and on and on. Shiloh, we're doing a major dig out there. I hope to be on that dig this coming summer. So we have found many of the biblical cities there. You go to these cities, like Jerusalem. You cannot walk around Jerusalem and not run into yellow tape. There's yellow tape everywhere because they're doing archaeological digs all over the place. And all over, you'll see plaques referring to biblical sites all over Jerusalem. If you go to Shiloh or Megiddo or any of these places like that. What about the Book of Mormon? We don't have anything. We have not found these cities. Cumorah, where supposedly millions of soldiers died. We have not found arrowheads, metal spearheads, armor, anything described in them. We haven't found anything. In fact, the Smithsonian Institute stated in a letter to the Mormon Church, they said the Smithsonian Institution has never used the Book of Mormon in any way as a scientific guide. Smithsonian archaeologists see no connection between archaeology of the New World and the subject matter of the book. National Geographic Society writes, with regard to the cities mentioned in the Book of Mormon, neither representatives of the National Geographic Society nor archaeologists connected with any other institution of equal prestige has ever used the Book of Mormon in locating historic ruins in Middle America or elsewhere. And even Mormon archaeologists admit there is really no archaeology that supports the Book of Mormon. You know, here's Mormon archaeologist and apologist, Dr. Hugh Nibley. He states in his book, Since Cumorah, he says, all that we have to go on to date is a written history. There's nothing whatever that an anthropologist or archaeologist as such can say about the Book of Mormon. You know, Thomas Ferguson, another prominent defender of the Book of Mormon, he was president of the New World Archaeological Foundation, which was funded by Brigham Young University and the Mormon Church. And he states this. He says, after years of research and many fruitless expeditions, he concluded this. He said, with all these great efforts, it cannot be established factually that anyone from Joseph Smith to the present day has put his finger on a single point of terrain that was the Book of Mormon geographical place. And the hemisphere has been pretty well checked out by competent people. I must agree with D. Green, who has told us that to date there's no Book of Mormon geography. I, for one, would be happy if D. Green were wrong. And D. Green is a professor of anthropology at Weber State University, well-respected Mormon scholar. And he says this, and this is the last one I'll quote, but there's more, but he's the last guy I'll quote. He says, the first myth we must eliminate, that Book of Mormon archaeology exists. No Book of Mormon location is known with reference to modern topography. Biblical archaeology can be studied because we do know where Jerusalem and Jericho were and are, but we do not know where Zarahemla and the Bountiful, nor any other location for that matter, were or are. It would seem that a concentration on geography should be first order of business. Years of research of such an approach has left us empty-handed. So that's where that's the testimony of Mormon archaeology. And then, as you stated, DNA testing here. They have done extensive DNA testing not too long ago to see if the American Indians are descendants of the Jews. And after extensive DNA testing here, there's a book here called American Apocrypha in 2002. And one of the chapters in there is called Lamanite Genesis, Genealogy, and Genetics, written by a prominent Mormon, Thomas Murphy. And after examining the DNA evidence, it was discovered that there is no connection between the American Indians and the Jewish people. In fact, the DNA conclusively shows that the American Indians are actually from Asia. You know, as many of us have learned, they crossed over the Bering Strait there in Alaska from Asia. And so they're connected with the people of Asia, not with the Jewish people. And that is devastating blow there in Mormon archaeology and historical research. There's no connection, DNA, that indeed the American Indians are descendants of the Jewish people. So that's quite a devastating blow there. You compare that to biblical archaeology. We have thousands and thousands of archaeological discoveries confirming the biblical accounts. What a contrast we have between the Book of Mormon and the Bible.
You know, your information is kind of reminding me what you said a little bit earlier at the start of our conversation. You quoted that Joseph Smith stated, I told brethren, and this is in the Book of Mormon, I told the brethren that the Book of Mormon was the most correct of any book on earth. You just gave us some factual and even archaeological discrepancies in it. Are there any other examples of factual errors that you can provide that's in the Book of Mormons?
Yes. You know, one of the things we look at as archaeologists is, you know, the historical account and what we call cultural and historical synchronisms. Are the items and customs and clothing and all that match the period of time that's being written about? For example, if I wrote a biography on, or if I'm reading a biography on George Washington, and I read the biography and it says, after this battle, George Washington jumped in the first made Ford car and drove 15 miles, where then he got on a horse, you know, he went into his house and he picked up his Winchester rifle there, loaded it with bullets, and then rode his horse to the next city to meet his army there.
Once again, we've run out of time. Thank you for joining us here on Evidence and Answers. Our goal is to bring you the love of Christ and to equip you in your faith to always be ready to give a response. If you would like to hold an apologetics conference or series of teachings at your facility, contact Pat by calling him in Hawaii. That number is 483-0586. Or you may email him through the Evidence and Answers website. That's evidenceandanswers.org. Be sure to browse through our listing of topics on our site. We have everything from atheism to Zen Buddhism. You will also find articles and additional audio for you to listen to or download. An additional location to find Pat's messages is on YouTube. Look up Evidence and Answers and hit the subscribe button. To keep quality broadcasts like Pat's on the air, we rely on generous financial support from you, our listeners. Donating is simple. Just log on at evidenceandanswers.org. Evidence and Answers is grateful for one of our sponsors, the Honolulu Christian Church. If you don't have a home church and are looking for a place to grow in your faith, check out the Honolulu Christian Church. For service times, log in at honoluluchristian.org. Join us again next time on the air or online as we provide compelling reasons for faith in Christ. That's Evidence and Answers with Pat Zukeran.